Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Amen. The title of today's message is Friend or Acquaintance. And you know, friend is a word that we throw around quite a lot, especially anymore. In fact, it's so much that and so loosely used a term anymore that I wanted to check out the dictionary to see what the most recent definition of the word was. So here's according to dictionary.com. Friend, a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. Number two, a person who gives assistance, a patron, a supporter, friends of the Boston Symphony, for example. Three, a person who is on good terms with another, a person who is not hostile, for example, who goes there, friend or foe, a member of the same nation or party. And then we look at acquaintances because we sometimes substitute this word for friend. And, you know, we look around and I know I say this a lot of times. Somebody I work with, for example, I hardly really even know them. I see them at work once in a great while. And I say, oh, it's a friend of mine at work, you know. But in the definition of friend, the strict definition, they're an acquaintance. And we have a lot of acquaintances. In fact, we're told really that for the number of true friends that we have, for the average person, they'll have the true friends that they have can be counted on one hand. And that's really kind of sad to think about when you think about people that are true friends. And what's a true friend? A true friend is a person that's going to stick with you no matter what. You know? And we all probably have some people that we consider true friends that, you know, we've been friends for a long time. This person would do anything for us. But first of all, I want to look here at acquaintances because that's the thing that we really seem to deal with a lot anymore. And one of the new definitions here was for friend was a person associated with another as a contact on a social networking website. For example, we've never met, but we're Facebook friends. And probably some of you that use Facebook, you can look at it and say, I've got X number of Facebook friends. I looked up one person one day and they had 5,000 Facebook friends. And how many of them do you think they really knew? Probably a handful at the most that they really actually personally knew. And it's the same with all of us that are on social networking websites. We have these people that we're really acquaintances with. I know who they are by the name that's on the website and the picture. And you know, sometimes that really can turn out to be misleading. Because there are people that have been misled by what they saw on the internet. But we have these acquaintances, and we think about it, you know, I tell my wife sometimes, yeah, this friend of mine on Facebook, I have never met the person, never talked to the person. They're an acquaintance. And that's the way it is with a lot of people that we run into. In fact, there's an example, I think, of this in the Bible. In Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. And it says, then some, and I'm reading this from the Holman Christian Standard Bible because I kind of like the way that it was phrased here. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? This evil spirit kind of called them out right there. You're saying that in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, I command you to come out of there. Well, I know Paul, and I know who Jesus is, but I don't know who you are. You see, they were trying to do this because really it was more like Paul was an acquaintance. Jesus was an acquaintance. It's somebody they knew of. Possibly they might have even met him somewhere along the line during his ministry. But they were trying to do something that they were not qualified to do. They were not qualified because they did not have Jesus residing in their heart. But they were trying to do it strictly because they knew the name. You know, we hear a lot about name droppers. You know some people that are name droppers. They like to tell you all these names of people that they can think of, that they know this person. I'm not trying to impress you. Well, you know, my friend, so-and-so, you know, I know somebody that does that, and he tells me about all these well-known people that he knows and all of this, and I seriously doubt he really knows any of them. But, you know, he's heard the name somewhere, and he likes to drop names. And, you know, we've all run into somebody probably that does that. And that's what these people were trying to do. They were being name droppers. They were saying, by the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't even have an acquaintance, really an acquaintance with him. They definitely weren't friends with him. And they just knew who the name was. They were acquainted with the name. And we got a lot of people running around in churches today that are acquainted with the name Jesus. They're acquainted with some of the things that are written in the Bible, but they don't have that friendship. They don't have that relationship that a true child of God has when they have Jesus Christ in their heart. And they're running around trying to do it strictly based on, I know who, I've heard of this person. That'd be like us trying to go out and say, well, I'll give you an example of myself. I got drafted into the Army, and they decided that Ken would be a medic. Dr. Ken. Because you see, where they were going to send me, their original idea was out on the battlefield, and I would be some of these guys' only hope out there. There wouldn't be an actual medical doctor out there. And I would have to try to patch them up to get them back to a real doctor. Boy, what a mistake that was. While we were going through training, they showed a movie. A lot of blood and guts in that movie. And I passed out. You don't want a doctor like that out there. Well, thankfully, God intervened and I didn't get sent out there. But I could have gone out and said, oh, man, I've been through this training. I'm qualified now. I'm a doctor. I wouldn't have been a real doctor. And I've known people that because they had that 10 weeks of training, 12 weeks, whatever it was, they felt they were qualified to take on the medical profession in all of its glory and do anything. And I'll have to say some of them did pretty good. But we were acquainted with the field, but we were not proficient in it. We didn't have a relationship with it. And sometimes we get into places where we do not have that relationship. We have just an acquaintance. But then there's friends. And the Bible talks about friends too. And it says here in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I lost. Well, if you lost a piece of silver, any one of us would probably be down on our hands and knees looking for that piece of silver. I lost a bolt off of something Friday. I got down and crawled in the grass. I raked the grass. I went hand by hand pulling grass and all of that. Couldn't find it. I went back out again Saturday morning, looked in the grass again. I couldn't find it. And I'll have to say there was no rejoicing because I didn't find it. There was rejoicing when I went to the parts store and the guy gave me the part for free. You know? But here she finds what she's lost and she calls her neighbors and says, oh, I'm so happy I found my silver that I lost. We have false friends sometimes. You ever had a false friend? We probably all have had a false friend. And as an example, I think, and it doesn't mention the word friend here in this particular scripture, but we can learn from it that it involves that. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 15, which is really the story of the prodigal son. And it says, "And moreover, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' So he divided unto them his substance. So not many days after, when the younger son had gathered all together, he took his journey to a far country. And there he wasted his goods with riotous living." Now, you know, that's a word that we don't really use too much anymore, so I wanted to check it out. And I looked it up and all of that. And I went back to the dictionary. And it says, "Given to or marked by unrestrained revelry, loose, wanton living." And so he was, you know, kind of living on the wild side there as he's out partying with his friends. And it goes on to say here, "Now then, when he had spent all, there arose a great dearth throughout the land, and he began to be in necessity," or in need. "And then he went and clave to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his farm to feed the swine." Now, I looked at the Holloman Christian Standard Bible, and that verse 13, it says, "Not many days later, the young son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living." A lot of people do that. "Oh, I got money. I got 50 bucks, man. What can I do with 50 bucks? That's nothing anymore, really, but, you know, used to. And if I'd had 50 bucks when I was a kid, I would have thought I was a millionaire, you know. But I got this money. Where can I spend it?" Come to think of it, I think I have a young grandson that's kind of like that. But that's the way some people are, you know. "I got this money. Man, my hand's getting hot. It's burning a hole here. I got to go spend this money." And this is kind of like this kid was. "Hey, Dad, I want my inheritance. I want it now." You like the commercial on TV, "It's my money and I want it now. Dad, it's my money and I want it now." It wasn't his money yet, but Dad gave it to him, and he went out and he foolishly spent all of it, having a party. You know, when you got money, you can have friends. A lot of people like people with money. Ah. "You got money, you can be my friend." You know? That's kind of like the way a lot of people are, you know. "You got money, man, I want to be friends with him because you got money. You know, you can help meet my, not just my needs, but my wants, you know." And we go out and live. And that's what he was doing. He was keeping his buddies happy. But you know what? With most people, there comes a time when you run out of money if there's not more coming in. And in his case, more wasn't coming in. You know, we hear stories about people that win the lottery. And I watched a program one time of where are they now, these people that had won the lottery. And a lot of them were broke. They had won millions of dollars, but they're broke because they wasted it on stuff that they really didn't need. 20, 30 cars, 4 or 5 houses, and this, that, and the other. You know, you can only live in one house at a time. You can only drive one car at a time. Now, I'm not trying to say it's wrong to have more than one house or one car, but sometimes people go overboard. So he spent all this money partying with his buddies, and the day came he ran out of money. And guess what? He ran out of friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. "Hey, buddy, can you lend me a dime?
I got a farm you can go work in."
Hey, can you lend me a dime? Not Chris, I can tell that. He's tight with his money. So, okay, well, I thought these people were my friends. Joe, are you there? He's not answering my call anymore. You know? Well, I guess I got to find a job then, you know. And so the only job he can find, you know, sometimes the job market gets tight. And sometimes, especially if you're living somewhere you're not familiar with and it's a strange place, and they just might not want to hire you. So the only job this poor little Jewish boy can find is feeding the pigs. And boy, what a put down that is. Thought he had friends. And he did, as long as he was paying the tab. But the minute he ran out of money, the friends were gone. That's a pretty good example of false friends. And we all run into people like that. They're our friend for what they can get out of us. And when they can't get anything else, they're gone. They're history. Don't know who we are. I've had people in my lifetime that I've tried to help out, do things for, and when they got what they could get out of me, they went on. And I could probably pass them on the street, and I don't even know if they would acknowledge who I was today. But that's the way some people are. And maybe you've had something like that happen to you, where you had somebody you thought was your friend, but today, they won't even acknowledge who you are. True friends, we're told, as I said, are hard to find. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel about David here in chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And it says, "And when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, for he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan put off the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even his sword, to his bow and his girdle." Well, let's back up just a little bit to fill this in. Let's go back to chapter 17 here, because in verses 55 through 58 it talks about it. "And Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, and he said unto Abner, the captain of his host, 'Abner, whose son is this young man?' And Abner answered, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.' Then the king said, 'Inquire thou whose son this young man is.' And when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, then Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son art thou, thou young man?' And David answered, 'I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.'" Well, here's David, young guy out here. He's made an impression on the king. King wants to know who he is. And all of a sudden, it seems like he's going to be good friends with the king. I want to know who you are. And we go on and find out he didn't even let him go back home to his parents then. He thinks I'm favored by the king, or could anyway think I'm favored by the king, man. You know, this person in power likes me. You could go on an ego trip there, couldn't you? King likes me. Man, I got it made now. I'm buds with the king. Yeah. I don't know how David really felt at that exact moment, but here the king is really, you know, trying to butter him up, I guess. But we find out that this very person who David thinks right now is his friend, later on, this same king cheats him, fears him, and eventually tries to kill him. Boy, now that's what you call a real friend, huh? Cheats you, is afraid of you, tries to kill you. That's a friend. Well, we don't need friends like that. And so that's an example also of a false friend. God's Word, even though our friends sometimes disappoint us, God's Word tells us about friends who will never disappoint us or never turn against us. You see, I imagine David was probably disappointed at times that the people he thought were his friends would turn against him. And we've all run into situations where people that we thought were our friends turn against us. We've all had that happen. And you've said, I thought they were my friend. And it's a hurt in our heart when that happens. When you think someone is your friend and then they turn against you. And David's probably thinking that. But you know what? God has told us about a friend who will never disappoint us or turn against us. You see, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us to be an offering and a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor to God. God gave of himself to us. He gave his Son to be the sacrifice for your sin, my sin, the sins of the world. And he said, I've made it available. I've offered it to you. All you have to do is accept it. And not only is he going to put you in the friend category, we find out later he's going to put us in the family category. Any of you have friends that are really closer than your family? I know as I've grown up over the years, because we lived in a different part of the country than the rest of my relatives lived, it was kind of like growing up without family or relatives anywhere around. And I really don't know very much about my relatives. I know more about some of my friends. In fact, I told somebody one time I thought I was going to change my last name to Smith because the Smith family had been more of a family to me than the Unger family had been. And I knew that if I needed something, the Smith family was there for me and would stand by me and be there for what I needed and have been throughout many years. And God goes on to say, as in James chapter 2:23, it says, And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed in God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Think about it. And you see that on somebody's business card today. John Doe, friend of God. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody doesn't have a card like that out there that's part of some fringe organization. It's not the words I started to say, but anyway, you know. But we're a friend of God. Think about that. If we've accepted Jesus Christ into our heart and he is our Lord and Savior, we are a friend of God. We talked a minute ago about people that were name droppers. Boy, you can drop a name here. You can say, I'm Katie, friend of God. Doesn't matter who all these other people are. Right. You're a friend of God. The creator of everything, and you're his friend. Amen. Think about that. But really, it gets better than what Abraham had here because it said friend of God, but really it goes on to tell us in Ephesians 1:5, who hath predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ and himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we were adopted into his family because Galatians 4:5-8 says that he might redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, which crieth, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Now if thou be a son, thou art also the heir of God through Christ. And even then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them by the nature are not God's. You have been adopted into the family of God, and you now can cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father. Amen. And we are his son. We are his child by adoption through Christ Jesus. And we are the sons and daughters of God. All because he loved us. There's a friend, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, there's a friend that sticketh closer to a brother than a brother, and that friend is Jesus. He's closer than any family member will ever be, as far as our earthly family. And he loves us so much that he gave his life for us, that we could be adopted into God's family, that we could be a part, that we could be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with the Son of the living God. You know, in some of the religious cults that have existed throughout the history of the world, they've had their leaders, and some of them lived some pretty opulent lives and had whatever they wanted, basically, because people considered them gods or the representative on earth of whatever particular god that they were serving. And they lived a good lifestyle. And if you were born into that family, you lived a good lifestyle because of that. But you know what? They've all come and gone. There's still some around today in today's world, but history shows a lot of them have come and gone. But we're servants. We're adopted into the family of the living God. Our God lives. Our God reigns. And because of that, we can look forward to a bright tomorrow. And even though there are times in our life that we go through some hardships, every one of us here has gone through and goes through hardships. Every one of us here at some time or another may have felt that the whole world has turned against us. There are times that we get into those states in our life. But we have dwelling in us the Spirit of the living God, and we are adopted into His family, and we have better things to come because we face here is only temporary. It will pass. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, all you've got's what's here right now, because you do not have a bright future ahead of you. You do not have a great destination to look forward. Somebody here just came back from a nice little trip to Florida and probably enjoyed the beach and the sunshine and all of that stuff. And you think, I had a great time. And then you come back and it's raining, you know, and all this stuff. You might have wanted to go back to the sunshine, I don't know. And we can look out, and no matter how great the day is outside right now, a greater day is coming. A brighter day is coming. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, no matter what the world throws at you, you have a bright future in your life. And as you read what the Word of God has to say about our future, it doesn't even give us really but a smidgen of what's in store, because we couldn't contain what's ahead for us as Christians. But think of it, an eternity with the Creator of all things. That's one of the things you've got to look forward to. Eternity with the Creator of all things. You can have some people down here that are your friends and maybe even your best bud that's got money and got everything it seems like that the world has to offer. But you know what? They say that's going to someday pass. But what we have through Jesus Christ is eternal. And Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you that you love us so much, that you not only sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins, but Father, you love us so much that you, through this, adopt us into your family and we become joint heirs with your Son Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone listening to this message today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they've never accepted Him into their heart, they've never asked Him for forgiveness, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart today and help them to realize they need to make that decision today. They need to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. and let him become their best friend. Not only their best friend, but their brother through the adoption of God. I thank you for that today, and I pray that you would speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's just.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.